The Mystical City of God, The Transfiction, Book 5, Chapter 15. The Venerable Sister Mary of Jesus of Argreda describes the happy death of Saint Joseph and what followed upon it. How Jesus our Redeemer, and the Blessed Virgin Mary our Lady, assisted at his passing away.
162. For 8 years Saint Joseph had been exercised by his infirmities and sufferings, and his noble soul had been purified more and more each day in the crucible of affliction and of divine love. As the time passed, his bodily strength gradually diminished and he approached the unavoidable end, in which the stipend of death is paid by all of us children of Adam, Hebrews 9:27. In like manner also increased the care and solicitude of his heavenly spouse, our Queen, assisting and serving him with unbroken punctuality. Perceiving in her exalted wisdom, that the day and hour for his departure from this cumbrous earth was very near, the loving lady betook herself to her blessed Son and said to him,
Lord God Most High, Son of the Eternal Father and Saviour of the world, by your divine light I see the hour approaching which you have decreed for the death of your servant Joseph. I beseech you, by your ancient mercies and by your infinite bounty, to assist him in that hour by your almighty power. Let his death be as precious in your eyes, as the uprightness of his life was pleasing to you, so that he may depart in peace and in the certain hope of the eternal reward to be given to him on the day in which you shall open the gates of heaven for all the faithful. Be mindful, my son, of the humility and love of your servant, of his exceeding great merits and virtues, of the fidelity and solicitude by which this just man has supported you and me, your humble handmaid, in the sweat of his brow.
163. Our Savior answered,
My mother, your request is pleasing to me and the merits of Joseph are acceptable in my eyes. I will now assist him and will assign him a place among the princes of my people, Psalm 115:15, so high, that he will be the admiration of the angels and will cause them and all men to break forth in highest praise. With none of the human born shall I do as with your spouse.
The great lady gave thanks to her sweetest son for this promise, and for 9 days and nights, before the death of Saint Joseph he uninterruptedly enjoyed the company and attendance of Mary or her divine son. By command of the Lord the holy angels, 3 times on each of the 9 days, furnished celestial music mixing their hymns of praise with the benedictions of the sick man. Moreover, their humble but most precious dwelling was filled with the sweetest fragrance and odor so wonderful that they comforted not only Saint Joseph, but invigorated all the numerous persons who happened to come near the house. 164. One day before he died, being wholly inflamed with divine love on account of these blessings, he was wrapped in an ecstasy which lasted 24 hours. The Lord himself supplied strength for this miraculous intercourse. In this ecstasy he saw clearly the divine essence, and manifested therein, all that he had believed by faith, the incomprehensible divinity, the mystery of the incarnation and redemption, the militant church with all its sacraments and mysteries. The Blessed Trinity commissioned and assigned him as the messenger of our Savior to the holy patriarchs and prophets of Limbo, and commanded him to prepare them for their issuing forth from this bosom of Abraham to eternal rest and happiness. All this Most Holy Mary saw reflected in the soul of her divine Son together with all the other mysteries, just as they had been made known to her beloved spouse, and she offered her sincerest thanks for all this to her Lord. 165. When Saint Joseph issued from this ecstasy, his face shone with wonderful splendor and his soul was entirely transformed by his vision of the essence of God. He asked his blessed spouse to give him her benediction, but she requested her divine son to bless him in her stead, which he did. Then the great Queen of Humility, falling on her knees, besought Saint Joseph to bless her, as being her husband and head. Not without divine impulse the man of God fulfilled this request for the consolation of his most prudent spouse. She kissed the hand with which he blessed her and asked him to salute the just ones of Limbo in her name. The most humble Joseph, sealing his life with an act of self-abasement, asked pardon of his heavenly spouse for all his deficiencies in her service and love, and begged her to grant him her assistance and intercession in this hour of his passing away. The holy man also rendered humblest thanks to her son for all the blessings of his life, and especially for those received during this sickness. The last words which Saint Joseph spoke to his spouse were,
"Blessed are you among all women and elect of all the creatures. Let angels and men praise you. Let all the generations know, praise and exalt your dignity. And may in you be known adored and exalted the name of the Most High through all the coming ages. May he be eternally praised for having created you so pleasing in his eyes and in the sight of all the blessed spirits. I hope to enjoy your sight in the heavenly fatherland."
166. Then this man of God, turning toward Christ our Lord in profoundest reverence, wished to kneel before him. But the sweetest Jesus, coming near, received him in his arms, where, reclining his head upon them, Joseph said,
"My highest Lord and God, Son of the Eternal Father, Creator and Redeemer of the world, give your blessing to your servant and the work of your hand. Pardon, O most merciful King, the faults which I have committed in your service and intercourse. I extol and magnify you and render eternal and heartfelt thanks to you for having, in your ineffable condescension, chosen me to be the spouse of your true mother. Let your greatness and glory be my thanksgiving for all eternity."
The Redeemer of the world gave him his benediction, saying,
"My Father, rest in peace and in the grace of my eternal Father and mine, and to the prophets and saints who await you in limbo, bring the joyful news of the approach of their redemption."
At these words of Jesus, and reclining in his arms, the most fortunate Saint Joseph expired, and the Lord himself closed his eyes. At the same time, the multitude of the angels, who attended upon their king and queen, intoned hymns of praise in loud and harmonious voices. By command of the Lord, they carried his most holy soul to the gathering place of the patriarchs and prophets, where it was immediately recognized by all as clothed in the splendors of incomparable grace, as the accepted father and the intimate friend of the Redeemer, worthy of highest veneration. Conformably to the will and mandate of the Lord, his arrival spread unutterable joy in this countless gathering of the saints by the announcement of their speedy rescue. 167. It is necessary to mention that the long sickness and sufferings which preceded the death of Saint Joseph was not the sole cause and occasion of his passing away, for with all his infirmities he could have extended the term of his life, if to them he had not joined the fire of the intense love within his bosom. In order that his death might be more the triumph of his love than of the effects of original sin, the Lord suspended the special and miraculous assistance by which his natural forces were enabled to withstand the violence of his love during his lifetime. As soon as this divine assistance was withdrawn, nature was overcome by his love, and the bonds and chains by which this most holy soul was detained in its mortal body were at once dissolved, and the separation of the soul from the body in which death consists took place. Love was then the real cause of the death of Saint Joseph, as I have said above. This was at the same time the greatest and most glorious of all his infirmities, for in it, death is but a sleep of the body and the beginning of real life. 168. Her spouse having thus passed away, the great lady began to prepare his body for burial according to Jewish custom. No other hands touched him than her own and those of the holy angels, who assisted her in visible human forms. In order that the utmost propriety might be observed by the Virgin Mother, God enveloped the body of Saint Joseph in a wonderful light, which hid all except his countenance, and thus his purest spouse, although she clothed him for burial, saw only his face. Sweetest fragrance exhaled from his body, and it remained so beautiful and lifelike that the neighboring people eagerly came to see it and were filled with admiration. Accompanied by the Redeemer of the world, his most blessed mother, and a great multitude of angels, and escorted by their friends and many others, The sacred body of the most glorious Saint Joseph was borne to the common burying place. But on all these occasions and in these occupations, the most prudent queen preserved her composure and gravity, without allowing her countenance to exhibit any unwomanly or disorderly excitement, nor did her sorrow prevent her from attending to all that belonged to the service of her deceased spouse or her divine son. In every one of her movements was visible the royal and magnanimous behavior of the queen of the human race. She reiterated her thankful acknowledgement of the great favors done to her spouse by the Son of God and, prostrated his feet in new abasement of humility, she said to him,
"Lord and master of my whole being, my true son, the holiness of my spouse Joseph might until now have detained you in my company, though unworthy of it, I beseech you by your own goodness not to forsake me now, receive me anew as your servant and look upon the humble desires and longings of my heart."
The Savior of the world accepted this new offering of his most holy mother, and he promised not to leave her until the time when obedience to his eternal Father would oblige him to begin his life of public preaching. The Teaching of Mary, the Queen of Heaven. 169.
My dearest daughter, it was not without special reason that your heart was moved to great compassion and pity toward those who are at the point of death, and that you are inspired with the desire to help them in that hour, for it is true, as you have perceived, that then the souls of men incur the most incredible and dangerous attacks from the demons, as well as from their own frailty and from the creatures around them. That hour is the great trial of life, upon which depends the last sentence of eternal death or eternal life, of eternal suffering or eternal glory. As the Most High has condescendingly granted to fill you with these sentiments, I exhort you to exert all your powers and faculties to act accordingly. Remember then, my friend, that when Lucifer and his satellites of darkness perceive, by the course of natural events, that anyone falls a prey to a dangerous and mortal disease, they immediately prepare to assail the poor and unbewaring soul with all their malice and astuteness in order to vanquish them if possible by various temptations. Whenever they see an opening for attacking the souls, they try to supply in fury and malice the shortness of time. 170. At such times they gather like bloodthirsty wolves and search out the natural and acquired failings in his nature, taking into account his inclinations, habits and customs, and where his passions cause him greater weakness, in order to direct toward this part the strongest battery and engines of war. Those that have a disorderly love of earthly life, they persuade that there is not such great danger, and they prevent others from undeceiving them. Those that have been negligent in the reception of the sacraments, they try to make still more careless, and they place obstacles and difficulties in the way, in order that they may die without them, or in order that they may receive them without fruit and with a bad disposition. Others they fill with false suggestions and shame in order that they may not confess their sins and open their conscience. Others they confuse and try to prevent from making proper restitution and thus unburdening their consciences. Others, who love vanity, they entangle, even at that last hour, in many vain and proud desires with regard to what is to be done for them after death. Those that have been avaricious or sensual, they seek to excite violently toward what they loved so blindly during life. In short, of all the bad habits and customs this cruel enemy avails himself in order to fill their minds with images of creatures and draw them away from their salvation or make them incapable of it. All the sinful actions and vicious habits of their previous life have become, as it were, pledges in the hands of the common enemy for the possession of the sinner and weapons for assault and battery in this tremendous hour of death. Every appetite, which has been inordinately indulged, is an avenue or bypath by which he enters into the citadel of the soul. Once in, he breathes forth his pestilential fumes and raises the clouds of darkness, his proper work, so that the soul may not give heed to the divine inspirations, have no true sorrow for its sins, and do no penance for its wicked life. 171. Generally, these enemies cause a great damage to the souls in that hour by exciting the vain hope of a longer life and being able to execute later on what God suggests to them by means of the holy angels. Giving way to this deceit, they find themselves afterwards betrayed and lost. Just as great is the danger of those who have shown little esteem for the saving graces of the sacraments, for this contempt is very offensive to the Lord and to the saints, and divine justice is accustomed to punish it by leaving these souls to their own wicked counsels. This leads them to great neglect in profiting by this help. Thus they are themselves forsaken by the Lord in their last hour, in which they expected to provide for their salvation. There are few among the just whom this ancient serpent does not furiously attack in their last agony. And if Satan boasts of having ruined even saints at such times, what hope have the wicked, the negligent and sinful, who have spent their whole lives in making themselves unworthy of divine favor and grace, and who are devoid of meritorious works to offset the assaults of their enemies? My holy spouse Saint Joseph was one of those who enjoyed the privilege of neither seeing nor feeling the presence of the demon in his last hour, for as soon as they approached to deal with him as they do with the rest of men, they felt a powerful force, which kept them at a distance and the holy angels hurled them back into their abyss. Seeing themselves thus oppressed and crushed, they were seized with great uneasiness and confusion. Almost stupefied, Lucifer called a meeting of his followers in hell, in order to consult about this surprising event and in order to have them once more search the earth for the Messiah, and then happened what you shall relate later on in its place. 172. Hence you will understand the great danger in the hour of death, when both the good works and the bad will begin to show their effects. I will not tell you how many of us lost, in order that your sincere love of God may not cause you to die of sorrow at this loss. But the general rule is, a good life gives hope of a good end, all other reliance is doubtful, and salvation resting upon it is very rare and merely accidental. The best precaution is to take a good start from afar, and therefore I admonish you, that, at the dawning of each day, when you look upon the light, you seriously consider whether it may not be the last of your life, and, if it should be the last, for you do not know, that you place your soul in such a state as to be able to meet death with a smiling face. Do not delay even for one instant sorrow for your sins and a firm purpose of confessing them as soon as you find yourself guilty of any and of amending the least of your imperfections. In all this be so careful that you leave not upon your conscience the smallest defect without being sorry for it, and without cleansing yourself by the blood of my most holy Son. Place yourself in such a condition that you are ready to appear before the just judge, who is to examine and judge your least thoughts and all your movements. 173. In order that according to your pious wishes, you may help those who are in danger of death, you should give to others the same counsels that I have now given you. Exhort them to lead a careful life in order to secure a happy death. Moreover, say some prayers for this intention every day of your life, fervently asking the Almighty to disperse the deceits of the devils, to destroy the snares prepared against those who were in the throes of death, and that his right hand confound all the demons. Know that I have directed my prayers to that end for mortals, and in this I wish you to imitate me. That you may help them so much the more, I wish you to order and command the demons to depart from the sick and stop their persecutions, and you can very efficaciously use this power, even when you are absent from the sick, for you are to command them in the name of the Lord, and you are to compel them to obey you for His greater honor and glory. 174. When your own religious are in danger of death, do thou, without exciting them, instruct them in what they are to do. Admonish them and help them to receive the holy sacraments, and see that they receive them frequently during life in preparation for a good end. Seek to encourage and console them, speaking to them of the things of God and His mysteries contained in the Holy Scriptures. Exhort them to awaken their good intentions and desires and to prepare themselves to receive the light and the graces of the Most High. Excite them to hope, strengthen them against temptations and teach them how they are to resist and overcome them, seeking to divine them before they themselves manifest them to you. The Almighty will give you an understanding of them so that you may apply the right medicine to each, for the infirmities of the soul are hard to diagnose and cure. All that I now tell you, you must execute as the most beloved daughter of the Lord and in His service, and I will procure for you certain privileges for yourself and for those you desire to aid in that terrible hour. Do not stint your charity in these works, for you shall work not by your own strength alone, but by the power which God wishes to exercise in you for His own glory.